So if we have our Bibles, we're going to turn to Psalms 27. Psalm 27. Psalm 27. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, and he shall set me upon a rock." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your many blessings. We thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we just ask now that you'll bless this time we have together in your word. Speak to our hearts, and we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name. Psalm 27 and verses 1 through 5. So I'm not quite sure, honestly, as I've got saved when I was 16 years old, and now as the years have gone by, how the Lord has blessed in my life and worked in my life, I'm not quite sure how people today live without the Lord. And we live in uncertain times. We're living in a time to where there's things are uncertain. Things are like chaotic, so to speak. People are scared. And they're fearful. They're fearful. Some of the things I mentioned last week, we realize that God is in control. We realize that he's in control. God never changes, which we're thankful for that, because that helps us build confidence. That's our stability. God will never leave us nor forsake us, so we never have to be alone. And we can praise the Lord because God is always found faithful. He's always found faithful. And then one of the last things I kind of touched on was we need to pray. We need to pray for everyone, especially for our leaders dealing with the situation that we're dealing with now. But now that we're put here where we are, how do we respond to it? How do we respond to it? We see here in Psalm 27, verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" See, in verse 1, we see David knows that he possesses the Lord by faith. Because he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." And he also says there the Lord is the strength of my life. It kind of reminds me of Psalm 23 and verse 1. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But if you think about that, the Lord is what? My shepherd. It's proof of a personal relationship with the Lord. Just like he says, "The Lord is the strength of my life." David depended upon the Lord. Verse 2, we see David was speaking of past victories that the Lord had given. It says, "When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell." So even though his enemies were coming against him, it says they stumbled and fell. Then we see there in verse 3, it says, "Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident." See, David knew that the only safe place was being close to God. That's the only place. And we're going to be getting into this a little bit more in depth. I'm just kind of going an overview here just for a second. But then we see there in verse 4, it says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. And that kind of goes along with, right there, go back to Psalm 26 and verse 8. It says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. See, when you are in an intimate relationship with the Lord, a personal relationship, you desire to be where he is at. That's why we should have a desire to get in God's word on a daily basis. We should desire to pray for people because God would ask us to. See, David wanted to be in a place where he could see God. We should desire to want to be in a place that we can see God. A place that God is lifted up. That's why we sing hymns, because we lift God, the name of God, up. We pray, sing praises to him. We don't sing songs that bring that exalt the flesh. We sing songs that exalt God. But he also wanted to be able to see his beauty and to be able to worship God. That's why he says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. One thing have I desired, and that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire of his temple. See, if we as believers stay close to the Lord, we possess some blessed assurances. Just kind of just like the song "Blessed Assurance." The rest of the world knows nothing about. They have no peace. They keep on saying peace, peace, and trying to come to peace in the Middle East. You hear about that. You still hear it from time to time. But the only true peace we can find is in Christ. Because it talks about, we're going to be going there, not right now, but the peace that passes all understanding, and only God can give it. See, this is the kind of assurance we need today when we fight the battles with the world, the flesh and the devil. Even though we are in perilous times, as it says there in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, if you want to turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, kind of gives us a little bit doctrine about, end times. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And do we not see that today? I mean, we see it more now than ever. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins and led away with diverse lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We see this time and time again every day throughout our lives. See, this know also that in the last days, it says, perilous times shall come. And I looked at the word perilous just because we understand what it is, but it's the idea of reducing the strength, difficult, dangerous, furious, fierce, or perilous times. So it gives us an understanding of what's going on. But see, in John 15, in verse 4, John 15 and verse 4, it's actually starting in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So it's about abiding in Christ. See, when we abide in Jesus Christ, when we abide in him, there are certain assurances that we can enjoy. There are certain blessings that we have in our life because we abide with him. So the first thing we see here, as we go back to Psalms 27 and verse 5, is the assurance of personal guidance. The assurance of personal guidance. Psalm 27 verse 5, it says, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide in me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock." He shall set me upon a rock. He says he will hide me in his pavilion. And then not only will he hide him in the pavilion, but in the secret place of his tabernacle will he hide me. And he shall set me upon a rock. These are all personal pronouns in the believer's life, that God will do these things. See, it is a personal activity. This is something God does in his own, of his own will on behalf of the believer. He sets you in these places. But it's a passive activity. The believer is required to do nothing but be in close relationship with the Lord. Abide in me, and I'll abide in you. I mean, he wants us to be in close relationship. We're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. It's a very familiar verse, but it's a very good verse. And then we're going to go from there to Matthew chapter 11. But 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it's casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Let go of those things that drag you down. Let go of those things that cause us to fret. We need to let go of all those things and just turn them over, to cast them upon the Lord. As it says, roll them upon a road. Commit thy way unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. That's one of the verses. One of them is Psalm 37:5, and the other one's Proverbs 16 and verse 3. But Psalm 37 and verse 5 says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." It's about committing it to the Lord. It's about casting it upon him. Then we see in Matthew chapter 11, these are just verses that we have to remind ourselves of from time to time when we're dealing with uncertain times. We're dealing with what we don't know. From day to day, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to be here tomorrow and what's not going to be here. But we need to cast all of our cares upon him, because he wants us to live from day to day and just simply trust him. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, if we cast it upon him, he's going to carry the load. He's going to carry the load to the point to where we're going to find rest in him. He's going to give us rest. That's the reason we can lay down at night and not have to be scared and fear about what's going on around us when we trust the Lord and we can rest in him. Ask my wife. She tells me, as soon as my head hits the pillow, boof, I'm out. Because we need not to live in fear. Then we're going to turn over to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Another good chapter in the book of Psalms. Psalm 37, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring..." I just read that verse, but it's a very good reminder. "He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the Lord, and thy judgment unto the noonday, as the noonday. Rest in the Lord," and what does it say? "Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." But then we see also not only those verses, but down in verse 28, same chapter, it says, "For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So he forsaketh not his saints. It also says back in verse 25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If we only simply trust him, we need to abide in him. And then the last two verses I want to look at, the last two verses of the chapter, 39 and 40, it says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So it's a good song, only trust him. We need to trust in the Lord, and he will be our strength. He will be, that's a passive activity. The personal activity we need to, this is something God does of his own will. The passive activity, the believer is required to do nothing. We just need to simply trust him. We need to stay in a close relationship with him. And how do we do that? By staying in his word daily, by staying in time, spending time in prayer. But not only do we see these things, but we see the Lord is intensely interested in what is happening in our lives. He is interested. We see in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, he's interested in the things of our the small things of our life. But he's also, why is he interested? Because first of all, he bought us with the price of his blood. He died on Calvary, his blood was shed so that we might be saved. But it also says here in verse 15, it says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Thank God we have a Savior that understands where we're at. He was tempted at every point, anything possible known to man, he knows and understands what we're going through. What a blessing. He's interested in us in our personal lives. Isn't it nice to have somebody that you can talk to and they understand what's going on in your life, or somebody you can compare with? Well, the Lord understands. He can sit down and he was, it says, at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he understands. In verse 13, back up a couple of verses, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See, he knows every little detail of our lives. He says, he knows the hairs on our head. The Bible tells us that he knows, it's unbelievable to think about that. But God knows. Think about the millions of people and the billions of people in the world, and God knows every last one of them. He knows every little detail about them. He knows every detail of our lives. We go to Hebrews chapter 13, just a few pages over. 13 and verse 5. We're very familiar with this as well. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When we're content, when we're focused on the Lord, and we have him in our lives, really, in an essence, if we have him and him only, that's enough. He's sufficient. It says he will never leave us nor forsake us. See, we know that he is ever present. And we can always look back and see where God has worked in our lives and thank and praise him for the involvement in our lives. We can look back at all those things that he's done and thank him for it. And realize, as I mentioned earlier, that God is always found faithful. Why? We know from the track record he has in our lives and in the lives of others. Not only is he interested in every little detail of our life, he guides our steps. We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 9. 16 and verse 9 Since a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. There's also a verse that goes along with this in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and verse 23. We're going to turn there. But he directeth, or he guides our steps. It says in verse 20, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, when we are abiding in him, if we are having a close relationship with him, he's going to be interested in every little detail of our life. He's going to guide our steps. We just need to simply trust him for each step. As it says there in Psalm 119, I believe it's Psalm 119 and verse 11. I may be wrong, but we'll get there and figure it out here. Psalm 119 and verse 11. No, well, that's a good verse too. It says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." But there's a is it Psalm? Is it 118? Maybe that's what it is. No, that's not it either. "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I'm not sure. That's the verse, but I can't remember the text.
119:105.
105. That's right. Okay. So Psalm 119:105. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." And the whole picture here is a simple fact that we're trusting him. He's a light unto our path. We're trusting him for every step of the way. Each step we take, he gives us enough light to take the next step. And simply trusting him, he guides our steps. We must remember that God is in control. Though our lives may seem that they're out of control, God is always in control. So we have the assurance of personal guidance. Secondly, we see the assurance of a powerful guardianship. The assurance of a powerful guardianship. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 20, or Psalms 27. Psalms 27. It says, "For in the time of trouble," is verse 5, "he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me, he shall set me upon a rock." But we're looking at that word hide. See, David tells us that the Lord will hide us in his pavilion. A king's pavilion was a tent that erected in the middle of the army's encampment. If you can picture in your mind, he's in the center, and all sides of him are surrounded by soldiers. The tent was thus surrounded by the army of brave soldiers with all the host of the army encamped about. This was the safest place on the battlefield. If you think about it, we're sitting there with the king, and he's surrounded by all his soldiers. It's the safest place because nobody can get past the soldiers. Those who were fortunate enough to be allowed to enter the king's pavilion were protected by the soldiers and entertained by the king during the battle. The word hide means to treasure away. So when David says here in verse 5, he says, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion." It's a picture that we can paint and say that we're in the midst of the host of the whole army in the safest place. We're there in the safest place as we could be with him. And as we go through the battles of life, we are safely tucked in our king's pavilion. Think about that. When we abide in him, when we have a personal relationship with him. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I mean, just thinking about that brings comfort. It brings peace to us. We can go on in peace. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things of above, not in things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. See, this is the promise to those who will abide in a close place, abide with Christ. See, no enemy can penetrate the defenses. We are protected from the enemy. We have a place to exchange our trouble for his peace. Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We have an opportunity to share with the Lord our troubles, and he gives us his peace. He swaps with us. He changes it over. He takes our burden from us. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what's it say in the seventh verse? "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ." And that just kind of ties in with Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." So we need to be, he exchanges our trouble for his peace. When we're stayed upon him, he's going to give us that peace to help us get through the hard times. We have a place of finding joy, even during the most troublesome times. A place of finding joy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, and then we're going to read verses 7 through 9. It said that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So it's a place we can find joy. See, the only way we can, when we're abiding in Christ, he gives us that joy. When we're putting him first, the true meaning of joy, I love this, what somebody shared with me, it's not original with me, but Jesus first, others second, and ourself last. That's the true meaning of joy. And when we're putting him first, it's a place we can find joy. And joy is something people can't take away from us. Happiness comes and goes, but joy is something that sticks in our heart. But then we see a great promise there in John chapter 15 and verse 11. John chapter 15 and verse 11. It says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full." If you go back a few verses to kind of bring this into context, it says in verse, start back in verse 7, it says, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so hath I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So, it's a great promise to us if we abide in him, that his joy will remain in us. But then we see, not only as we go through the battles of life, we are tucked safely in the king's pavilion, but we also see the assurance of his powerful guardianship, which allows allows us to weather the storms of life with confidence and victory. We can go through these things. Kind of reminds me of the verse in Psalm 23. Psalm 23 in verse 4 it says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. We know he's going to be with us. But that's not death. This is the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil. We can have that assurance, that confidence, that victory. This is what allowed David to face Goliath, because he knew God was going to be with him. This was the confidence that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the assurance that gripped the heart of Daniel to take a stand for what's right. The same knowledge that allowed Paul to continue, and we're going to look at his story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, but it allowed Paul to continue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 11, it's quite the passage. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And he was just talking about, let's go back to verse 1 and actually just kind of bring it into context here. "It is not expedient for me doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, no, God knoweth. Such as one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. He that was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter, of such of one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." And verse 7 here is where we started. "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Paul had a lot of things revealed to him, but it was unspeakable things. And this is the passage I would take to somebody when they said they had an out-of-body of experience or something else. They might have seen something, but it wasn't happened according to the scriptures. Because Paul, of all people, he was an apostle, was not able to share anything. He says he heard unspeakable words and it was not lawful for a man to utter. But then we see in verse 8, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." He was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. It was to humble him. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, and it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." So we see here, Paul was given God's grace to help him continue. But he was given God's grace to get through these hardships because he was given a thorn in the flesh. Why? To keep him humble. To keep him. He had the opportunity. God revealed a lot of things to him, but he was not able to utter them. But he was given. It says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And that's a promise we can use in our own life. God's grace is sufficient. He's going to help us get through whatever we have to go through. See, the same assurance that all of these men had is the same assurance we can have as we face each day today. God says, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." When we're sheltered by the Lord, it is impossible for the enemies to reach us. We need to abide in Him, and He will abide in us. See, through these uncertain times, we just need to cling to the Lord. We need to trust in Him. Just as the song says, "My hope is in the Lord." He's a shelter in a time of storm. Another song we sang was, "Only Trust Him." These are all great songs that bring out those truths, that some of the things that we need to do. Let's pray.